I was kind of hoping Sister Parker wouldn't come back. Because if she didn't come back, I might would have an excuse for not singing a song. And some people in here that know me wish she would have stayed out. No, baby, we're okay. We're okay, baby. We're okay, baby. We're okay, baby. We're okay. We're okay. We're okay. To our moderator and his cabinet, and to all the clergy, we said thank you for coming. And to the president of the district, senior women, we'll solve this next week when I have my truck. And behind the seat of my truck, I have an axe handle. And she got me in this. And so now I'm going to have to do it. And standing here, I was in that seat there looking over there at all those excellent pulpiteers, I said, why me? But then again, I thought about a session I had just before I come out here when it's your time. It's your time. And to God be the glory for the great things that he will do in our lives if we will allow him to. Sister Lewis gave me something that I just did it like I normally do stuff. I lost it, and then I come up with this passage of scripture that our moderator read to us. Moderator brought us Book of Acts, chapter 1, yes, verses sir. 6 through 11. And try not to trouble you too long, but if you get troubled, don't blame me. Blame the Holy Spirit. For a subject today, why stand ye gazing? And progressive women and men, which is very few of us are here, why stand ye gazing? When there is work to be done. Why stand ye gazing? Because if you are standing, you cannot do everything that God would have for you to do. I thought about, but then I didn't have much to do with it. Just having a subject of one word, and that word was go. Great big word. Just two big letters. Go. And some people outside, ushers, you may take your seat. I thought you guys knew me well enough to know that if I start talking to take your seat. But some people, instead of calling us missionary, Baptist Church, all right, they call us stationary. Some people that don't know what you're doing because they themselves are stationary. And we have a tendency to put people at the same place where we are. Why stand ye gazing? Jesus had called the disciples together again. And he gave them the promise of the kingdom. In case you don't know, I give points. That's point number one. Jesus had called them together again, meaning that they had been together before. He called his disciples along with approximately 500 other people. They met Christ out on a mountain. See, you got to have a meeting place.
Yes, you do.
You got to have somewhere to assemble the believers, because when the clarion call goes out, those that are believers will hear the call and will answer the call.
Yes, they will.
Senior women, don't beat yourself up because the house is not full. There were some other people other than those that met Jesus out on the mountain that Jesus had done something for. All you have to do is send out the call. In the morning, Sunday morning, at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 9:30, we are going to assemble. A lot of the people that will be there at 11 won't show up at 9:30. But the clarion call went out for this session. We're going to meet at 4 o'clock. All you need to do is just send the word. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Why stand ye gazing? Since he had called them all together, they were wondering what was the great news that he was going to tell them. You know, we have a tendency to not be able to think any farther than where we are right now. They was not thinking on a heavenly level. They were thinking earthly. Are you getting ready to set up your kingdom here on earth? Is Israel, are you fixing to put Israel back in charge? Somebody wondering how this is going to work out. They were thinking earthly because that's as high as they could go. They had not allowed themselves to totally receive the word of God and stop thinking on an earthly level. If you think this is all that Jesus has for you, you are so sadly mistaken. You got to see yourself away from where you are now. If you have a situation going on in your life and you can't see that situation behind you, you will stay in it a little bit longer. I'm going to help somebody right now. I don't see myself still standing here preaching this message. I see myself through this one because I have another one in the morning. I got to see myself at that one. Brothers and sisters, if you can't see yourself out of the situation that you're in, you need to change gods. Yeah, you need to change, because this God that I serve can get you through anything that this earth have to bring before you. And this is what they did not understand. They were thinking earthly, and he was thinking heavenly. The believer's concern is to be service and ministry, proclaiming the glorious salvation of Christ and meeting the cry of a world buried in desperate need. There are so many people that are in need, and just in case you don't know, you got what they need. If you got Jesus in your heart, you got what they need. Jesus is the answer to anything that there is in the world, but you have to want him. If you don't want him, he's not your answer. He's not the devil's answer, because the devil does not want him. So if you want him, he is your answer. And if he's your answer, you will not stand here gazing and watching stuff. You will be doing stuff. Don't stand around and watch everybody else and talk about what they are not doing. What are you doing? Why stand ye here gazing? Somebody need to hear about this God that we serve. And every one of us in here have a testimony that's worth telling somebody about what God have already done for you. If nothing else, just this one thing, He fed all of us. Because from looking at you, you don't look like you missed any meals. So we got something to tell somebody about this God that we serve. Believers are not to focus on prophecy and setting dates. All you need to do is just be ready. Be ready when he comes. Don't worry about when. Just be ready. Live ready. Eat ready. Whatever you do, you need to do it ready to go back with Jesus. Because if you're not ready, when he comes, you can't go. You won't have time to get ready. You need to be ready. You need to live ready. When you put your head on a pillow tonight, you need to be ready. Because somebody put their head on a pillow last night, and they didn't live to see this day. You need to live ready to go back. That's why you need to be ye also ready, for you don't know when he's coming. Point number two. The believer's great task. Their task is the Great Commission. The believers has an equipping power. The believer has a power that will equip him or her to do whatever Jesus Christ called them to do. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked. What is it? It is the Holy Spirit. He will equip you to do what he called you to do. If you are willing to receive the equipping, he can do what he said he would do. He will supply you with everything that you need. And if you try to be like somebody else, hey, no, you can't be anybody else. No matter how wonderful you think that other they may be, you can't be them. God didn't want two of them. He wanted an original, just one. I say this, and if you don't know me, you will know it before you leave here tonight, this afternoon, this evening. I love to eat. I love to eat. And if there are two drumsticks on a plate, one of them yours and one of them mine. If I eat mine and yours, yours won't do you any good. So what we need to do is each one of us just need to be ourselves and eat the meal that God puts in front of you. And sometime you need to do it like the cow. You need to eat it, bring it back up. I know that turns your stomach, but then you need to eat it again because you get all the nutrients out of it. See, if that cow wouldn't bring it back up into that other stomach, you wouldn't get the nutrients out of the milk. You got to chew it good. Some people just put food in their mouth and they don't even chew it. It just goes straight down. You need to chew it. You need to get the nutrients out of it. Grind it up. The word of God is the same way. If God gives you a word, he gives it to you. If you try to get it rid of it too quick, it'll come out undone. Yeah, yeah. Every now and then, my wife will bake a pound cake. And I think it stays in the oven about an hour and 15 or something like that. An hour 30. But she times that thing. Right down to the second. Won't take it out before. And if you're in the house like I am, it be smelling so good. My question is it not done yet? But then after she take it out the oven,
all right,
she let it stay in the pan until it cools.
Yeah.
And when it cools, she can take it and turn it upside down, and it'll fall out the pan.
Right out.
Yeah. See, but I want to cut it while it's hot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My God.
I'm thinking about how it's going to taste. She's worrying about whether it's going to mess it up.
Yes, sir.
That's what we do with God sometimes. He have us in the oven, and we get tired of being in the oven. We want to come out too quick. And he got you right there where he needs you to be so you can tell somebody. When it marinates in you and you get it down on the inside of you, then you can tell somebody how good God have been to you. And because I let that cake cool, if nothing else, it lasts long. It lasts long. And that's the way God wants this word. He wants us to take this word and take it down on the inside of us and let it stay there for a while and let it marinate, and then we get it out, then it's worth something. If you try to do what God have for you to do, and it's not time, you'll do one thing with it. You'll mess it up. You'll mess it up. And because God have blessed you this way this time, don't think he gonna bless you the same way the next time. Why stand ye gazing? He told them that in verse 8 that they were to receive power, but they were not to receive earthly power. It's a power that comes from on high. Guff power does not have any power. The ever-ready bunny doesn't have any power. The new Duracell battery that they made that they said is everlasting, it does not have power. Jesus, when he was resurrected, said, I have all. And you do know that all in the Bible is inclusive, and it includes everything that there is that have power. It's in his hand. And this is what he was telling them. You shall receive power. After this, the Holy Ghost have come upon you. You got to know that you have a mission in front of you. You need to go out and tell somebody about the saving grace of this God that we serve. He did not save you just to save you. He saved you so he could draw interest on your salvation. By that I mean you need to tell somebody how good God have been to you. We sometimes don't want to tell them because we've told them before. Tell them again. I read in some book that every born-again believer have been witnessed to at least 6 or 7 times before they even decided to come this way. Now, if every one of them have been witnessed to 6 or 7 times, there's some of us that's just like me. They took 10 or 11. Some of the rest of you might have taken 2 or 3. But some of us, it took a lot of people telling us about this God. And this is what you need to do. Basically, because he did it for you. And just so you won't think that you're somebody special, he did it for me too. He will save you if you will let him. And he will put his power on the inside of you. But if you yourself think that you have the power, let me bust your bubble. You don't have it. Because he gives it to you, and it's a gift.
Yes, sir.
It's a gift.
Yes, sir.
And I tell people this, and my wife knows this one. If I decide to get her something for her birthday or whatever it is, I don't ask her what she wants. Because it's not her gift. It's mine. I'm giving her that. I'm giving her that. And if she decides, it's not a gift from me. It's something she decided for herself. God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have nothing to do with it. You just have to put yourself in position to receive it. You can't buy it because grandmama got it. You can't have it. You may can get anything else from grandmama, but you can't get God's Holy Spirit from grandmama. You have to get your own. Oh, none of you guys over there are not old enough for this, but these three out here. There was a song out there yesterday's. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that got his own. You need to get your own Holy Spirit, and God have enough of it to give everybody a good measure. He has enough of it, but you have to want it. You have to seek it. Why stand ye here gazing? And we will get that from God himself. Abraham can't give it to you. Isaac, none of them can give it to you. Only God can give it to you. Then, because he can give it, because he is the supreme being of the universe, he will put his presence within you, the presence of his Holy Spirit. There is no greater power than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be possessed by anyone that's willing to receive it. The believer does not have the power to carry out the task by themselves. Therefore, Christ promised them, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." God's Spirit and power is promised to all the believers. The believer's task is a task of witnessing and being a witness for God. See, you got to tell somebody. Tell somebody. And you have to be a good witness, and you can be that witness by your life.
Yeah.
They might not believe what you say, but they'll watch you and they'll believe what you do.
Yeah.
There's a quotation, I think it's in Apples of Gold, said people may doubt what you say, but they will believe what you do. Yeah. If you live in a life for Christ and you think the people on the block where you go to church don't know that you go to church, I tell you what you do. You let them see you in Walmart with a six pack. They gonna tell everybody that you where you go to church and what they saw you with. See, your life is a witness for God. You got to tell somebody. You got to be a witness for God. The disciples asked about the coming of the kingdom of Christ. When would it come? When would the believers be gathered together again to worship God in perfect peace and truth? But listen, the great injustices that are in the world are all caused by sin. And you cannot get rid of sin. You can only get it out of your own life. Sin is going to be in the world until Christ come back. You got to understand. You got to live in all of this mess down here. And this tells who you belong to. If you can live down here in this sinful, sin-sick world and hold your head high and let everybody know that you are a believer, when Christ come back, he'll take you with him. But you got to live. You can't just talk about it. You got to be a believer when you walk out of these doors. When you go out in the world, you got to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the Savior. What Jesus was telling them while he had them all together, he said, now is not the time for the believers to revel in love and in happiness and in fellowship and enjoy yourself. You got to put your war clothes on. You got to go to war, for there's a battle going on and you're in the middle of the fight. If you don't do what God would have you to do, you will fall down on the job. You got to be a witness for Christ. We must not now get the message out. We got the message in, but we got to get the message out. You got to tell somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I got to let you go, but God is a good God, and God won't ever change. He done something for me. Don't know what he done for anybody else, but he saved my soul on my way to hell. He bought me a long time ago, but I didn't receive it. And oh, when I come to him, he loved me just like I had never left. Ain't God good? God's a good God. He won't ever change. You got to tell somebody, and when you tell them, that's all you do. Don't try to convince them. Don't get mad with them. If they sit there and look at you like you crazy, that's all right. Tell them again about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God had his son to come down here and die for a wicked world. Thank you, Lord, for not letting him stay dead, but bright early, early on resurrection morning, he rose, stepped out on resurrection ground. God's a good God, y'all, and he won't ever change. But you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. You got to make a difference in somebody's life. When you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, and then you tell them again how good God is, where he brought you from. Where he brought you from is not anything like where he gonna take you to. Listen to me. God won't do anything for anybody else that he won't do for you. He'll save you. But you got to be willing. And there's not a one of us in here. If you get $20,000 and you take it to your favorite bank, you put $20,000 in the bank. 15 years later, you go back and they write you a check for $20,000. You will be highly ticked off. Won't earn much, but you want more than what you put in. So now, since God saved you, you ought to draw interest on him saving you by you telling somebody else. You ought to make a difference in somebody's life. You ought to tell them about his saving grace. I'm through. But let me tell you a story. There was this young lady. She had been reared in a Christian family. She had observed her parents, and they seemed to have gotten along real well, and things were not going well in her life. So she picks a day when all her family's gone and all her mom's family gone. She go to her mom's house. They have a conversation. She tell her, Mom, things are not going well. Mama tell her, say, come on, baby, let's go in the kitchen. They go in the kitchen. She got one of them. Y'all do know inanimate objects talk and they have feelings. And so
It was an old wood stove. One of them four eyes and got a water cooler, a reservoir on the side. Mama had four pots sitting on the stove. She got the pots. She got two of the pots. I told her daughter, said, you get that one. They went out on the back porch and they pumped water in the three pots. Mm-hmm. Filled them all the same depth and took them and put them back on the stove where she had heated the stove hot. She put it on there. Then the mama looked out and she said, what you fixing to do? She said, I'm fixing to show you how to solve the problems of life. She took and she got, reached in the icebox, didn't have a refrigerator, had an icebox.
All right.
Reached in the refrigerator, she got a carrot out of the icebox. She got an egg out of the icebox. Then she looked up in the cabinet and pulled down a container and got a coffee bean out the can. By this time, the water had gotten hot and it was boiling. She took the carrot. She said, daughter, so see this carrot? She said, yeah. She dropped it in the water. She said, you see this egg? She said, yes, she dropped it in the water. Said, you see these coffee beans? She said, yes, she dropped it in the water. They sat around and talked about this, that, and the other. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, she went back over there to the pot that the carrot was in.
All right.
Got the carrot out the pot and put it on the plate. Then she got a strainer and got the egg out and put it on the plate. Then she took and got a cup. She dipped the cup down in the water that the coffee bean was in and set it on the table. Now don't y'all go to sleep on me. I'm going to try to teach you something. And the daughter said, Mama said, what are you doing? Said, have you lost your mind? She said, no, baby. She said, do you remember how the carrot fell, how it felt whenever, before I put it in the water? She said, yes. She said, feel it now. She felt the carrot and it was mushy. She said, okay. It's okay, it's mushy. She said, now look at the egg. She said, before the egg was fragile and it was liquefied on the inside. She said, okay. She said, well, what about this cup of coffee here? She said, do you see the coffee bean? She said, no, I don't see the coffee bean. She said, okay. And she just let her sit there for a while, like y'all doing that. Listen to me. Now, don't y'all leave me here now. The carrot was hard before it went in the water. But because of the atmosphere around the carrot, it changed the carrot. The egg was liquefied and fragile before it went in the water. But when it came out of the water, it was hard and almost indestructible. But the coffee bean... The coffee bean infected everything else that was around here. The coffee bean changed what it was put into. I ain't lost. If you're going to be a missionary, you got to change your surroundings and not allow your surroundings to change you. Senior women and progressive, why stand ye here gazing? You need to be about changing what is around you. Change them for this God that we serve. The egg, when if she would have cracked it before, it would have been gone. I know none of y'all never done this. You never dropped an egg on the floor. It falls to pieces, doesn't it? Drop a boiled egg. It allowed the atmosphere that it was in to change it. Don't let
the world change you.
Amen.
You be like the coffee bean. You change the world. Can we say praise the Lord? Will you stand on your feet today? Amen. What a word that we have heard from heaven. Amen. Why stand ye here gazing? It's time to go. Get busy for the Lord. Be a witness for Jesus. But in order to be an effective witness, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit makes the difference in our lives. And the Bible says that Jesus is the baptizer, the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost. And in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need Jesus in our lives. Because the Bible says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but that he hears, what he hears from the throne room of God, that is what he will speak, and he will show you things to come. I wonder, do you have the Holy Ghost here today? You need Jesus. Is there anyone here today to say, well, I don't know him for myself. I don't have any power. The power of the Holy Ghost to change your surroundings. He makes the difference in our lives. Can I get a witness here? Amen. I thank God. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because of the Holy Ghost, I don't have to be a dry Baptist preacher, but I can be a Holy Ghost filled preacher. Because of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be a dry believer, but you can be a Spirit filled believer. My God. And that's what makes the difference in our lives. You're not going to change anything without the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we're here today standing, making an appeal to you today. Come to know Jesus. Come into his presence. Receive him and receive the power to be an effective witness for the Lord. The most important thing is that we be effective for the Lord. Somebody needs the power of the Lord in their lives. And they're going to know it by seeing it in you, and that the Lord Jesus makes the difference in your life. So we've heard this message today. Is there one today? Is there one out of the ark of safety, someone that don't know the Lord and departed of their sins? Is there anybody that want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Say, preacher, I want the power. I need the power. Scripture tells us that Spirit-filled men laid hands on individuals, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. Is there one today? Don't leave here powerless today. You need the power. Hallelujah. I thank God for the power. The power of God in my life. Well, if there not be one, God bless you. God keep you.